This is a podcast version of our YouTube video. Make sure to subscribe to Outspeedia on all platforms so you don't miss any content. Now on with the show. Hello again, guys, and welcome to Odds on Euro. We are going to analyze the games we have on Thursday, Group B. Group C, we have Denmark, we have Belgium, we have Netherlands, many good teams with Dani Fisichella and Álvaro. Hi, guys.
Ciao, Edu. I see you couldn't wait to start. I mean, the tournament got to you.
I cannot wait to start analyzing this game, these games, and of course, reading all your comments. So leave a comment in the video, ask any question to our guys. You will have the chance to win a £10 free bet with Novibet. And if you enjoy our videos, click on the like button, subscribe to our channel, and do not forget to click on the bell to get all the notifications. So let's start with the games on Thursday. The first one is on Group C, Ukraine, North Macedonia, two teams that lost in the first game. This game is going to be played in Bucharest in Romania, but probably Ukraine gave a better impression for the result, because the first half especially was very poor. They were kind of lucky to get two goals in their first two shots on target. And we have to highlight Yarmolenko, who had a very poor season actually, but he scored a beautiful goal. Whereas North Macedonia, they were lucky also to score that goal scored by Pandev, because it came after a huge mistake of the Austrian defense. But at the end, they lost in their debut in a major tournament. We checked the odds, and before, when we were analyzing the tournament, we actually liked Shevchenko's Ukraine, young team, but we thought that they were going to go through the last 16, Dani, so we are not surprised to see that the odds are very low for Ukraine, 1.66. They are really favorites against this debutant team like North Macedonia, odds 7.16, although they almost play at home playing in Romania.
Well, I think Ukraine are a bit enigmatic as a team. They're very difficult to read, not only because during tournaments and during qualifying campaigns, they go through different phases. They're quite inconsistent, but also during games, they tend to switch off for 10, 15 minutes. They go on the back of it. And nonetheless, it's a team that plays always, or tries to play, on the front foot. I mean, the front three of Ukraine, especially with Yarmolenko, Yeremenchuk, it's something to look forward to. I think they prove themselves once again against the Netherlands, and we saw also Zinchenko to be deployed in a more central position, and that helps the team. You can tell that, you know, it's been managed by Pep, so you know short passes, quick movement, etc. So there is a lot of things to look for in this Ukrainian team, but nonetheless, yes, I mean, I was disappointed, especially when they let the third goal in, a bit of a mistake from the keeper, who was brilliant in the first half. I think they deserve to lose against the Netherlands. If you look at North Macedonia, they had a good game plan, I think, against Austria. They knew that Austria wasn't going to be full of runs in behind. Austria is a quite sturdy team, not very spectacular. So Macedonia packed their midfield with five men, then the three defenders. So they stuck to the game. To the game plan. The problem with Macedonia came in the second half. After 65 minutes, they seemed to just defend and go back a couple of meters every 2-3 minutes. They were going back and back and back. And in the end, Austria had more quality. You can tell from that fantastic ball from Alaba, same with Sabitzer in the first half, and that was the decider. So I think for Macedonia to win this one, it's going to be tough. Let's not forget, this is a team that qualified thanks to the playoff, thanks to the Nations League. So it's a very low-ranked team. I'm going to go for both to score. Ukraine favorites. I think they'll get 3 points. Both to score, because, you know, Macedonia sometimes can surprise us. They can do it again.
Both teams to score is the same that Ashley from Hawaii is giving us as well. Álvaro, who did you like the most in the first games? Ukraine, Macedonia, which one do you think is going to get the 3 points here?
Well, I'm going to follow up what Daniel was saying, and a natural consequence of both teams scoring normally is going over the 2.5 goals market, which is something that I'm going to back for this game as well. I have to say that I was positively surprised by Ukraine. In the first game, I think that Shevchenko's men, they were capable of doing very good counterattacks against the Netherlands. I think that they were quick. They managed to score a couple of goals, but they always stayed in the game despite being 2-0 down. And that is something that I attribute and I credit to the manager and to the players. I think that they never lost the plot against the Netherlands. And I think that, you know, when it comes to Ukraine, they've got more talent and they've got also more game structure and a better game plan and probably better connections on the pitch. At the end of the day, five of the members of Dinamo of Ukraine who started, five of the members who started against the Netherlands, they played for Dinamo Kiev, and another player from Dinamo Kiev came from the bench. And Dinamo Kiev this season has done very well. They have done a national double in Ukraine. So I think that this is a team with a lot of good connections that is very well assembled, and I trust them to beat North Macedonia here. I think that Yarmolenko probably has his own scoring agenda as well. He has scored 41 goals with Ukraine. He's not too far from the Ukraine's all-ever top scorer. And when it comes to North Macedonia, I think that Igor Angelovsky's men, they were dominated in every tactical and statistical aspect against Austria. They lost 3-1 in their maiden game in the competition. And as I said before, they look a little bit poor to me. The goal of Goran Pandev was a mistake from the defense of Austria, a lack of understanding between the goalkeeper and the defenders. That shouldn't happen again. Well, and I would like to praise anyway Goran Pandev for scoring. At the end of the day, he scored age 37 years and 321 days, being the second oldest player to score in the tournament after Ivica Bastić. So congratulations to Goran Pandev. He's been around for 20 years almost. So I'm going to back the over 2.5 goals. And the Asian handicap minus one for Ukraine is something I fancy here as well. That pays 2.25.
Usually we are seeing that the odds are lower for under 2.5 goals also in this game, but it's kind of level actually under 2.5 goals, 1.8, over 2.5 goals, 2. So you both expect goals, and actually we might think, no, that Ukraine are scoring easily, and actually they scored in two shots that they had against the Netherlands, but they were shooting before 72 consecutive shots without a goal at the European Championship, and against the Netherlands we saw that they were able to score these two goals in only 246 seconds. So they did a good job actually, although at the end the mistake of the goalkeeper left them without any point. Very important game, this one, of course, because they have no points, Ukraine and North Macedonia in Group C, and one of the best games that we are going to see in this group stage, in my opinion, is the next one, Group B, Denmark-Belgium in Parken in Copenhagen. Let's hope that everything now is settled down in the Danish national team after what we saw with Eriksen, of course, and the defeat against Finland. Højbjerg missed a penalty. We already spoke about the how strange was that game against Finland. So now Denmark actually, they need to get something out of this game against Belgium to beat Russia in the last game and qualify for the next round. But it looks very difficult, Álvaro, especially seeing how Belgium performed in the first game and how strong Lukaku was also against Russia. Really favorite Belgium. We have good odds actually because Denmark is playing at home. The Belgian victory pays 2.15. You expect also a very good performance of Belgium. You expect also some problems with Denmark, or probably they have already put behind that incident with Eriksen. Difficult.
I don't think that they have put behind the incident with Christian Eriksen. In fact, Martin Braithwaite was tremendously critical with UEFA because he said that they shouldn't have completed the game on the day. In fact, he said, Martin Braithwaite, that the tennis camp never decided what they had to do. They were given two options and both of them were bad for them. One option was to play on the day, another option was to play the day after, and they weren't comfortable with any of the options. And at the end, they played on the day, like about an hour after the Eriksen incident, almost tragedy. So yes, I think that the Danish camp is probably thinking about the incident, and this is going to be on their heads for a long time. I think that, let's talk about football. Denmark against Finland was all right. I think that they, before the Ericsson incident, they were being better than the Finnish team, but then they couldn't win and now they are in trouble because they need to get the points ASAP. The problem is that they're playing against Belgium, and Belgium is probably the team that has had an easier start from all the tournament. And I don't know if because Russia was very bad or because Belgium made them look very bad. This is something that I haven't still answered to myself. But I do believe anyway that Belgium has a hell of a team, and not only that. I mean, they've been under the same manager for many years, and you can really tell that this is a team that they got all the experience and all the know-how that maybe they didn't have 5 years ago. Now they do have it. And I still think that Belgium was one of the best teams in Russia 2018 in the last World Cup. They beat Brazil, let's don't forget about that. And in the semi-final against France in the World Cup, they just lost by a corner scored, a corner scored by Rafael Varane, if I'm not wrong, or maybe Umtiti. But yes, this is a team that has been many years playing at a high level. They are the first in the FIFA ranking. And the good thing is that Romelu Lukaku is being very clinical. The good thing is that Eden Hazard was playing the other day and he wasn't too bad, actually. The good thing is that Kevin De Bruyne has resumed training this week, so I don't think that he will be featuring against the Danish team. But who knows? I think that coming after the group stage, in the knockout rounds, Kevin De Bruyne is going to be ready. I really did like what Belgium did because they did a professional performance against Russia in St. Petersburg and they capitalized every error from the rival. This is what good teams do normally. So for this game, as you said, Edu, the home factor, Denmark is playing in Copenhagen, makes the odds a little bit more favorable for the away team. So that's why I'm going to back Belgium to win. Belgium to win pace 2-10. And I also like this new market. Belgium to score in both halves, considering that they've got endless attacking options, that pace 3.35.
And actually, sorry, Danny, this is a good point. The factor playing Belgium playing in Copenhagen giving us higher odds. And probably we are not seeing a home factor actually in this Euro, even if Italy won at home, England won at home, because the stadiums are half empty, no? So I don't think even the players are feeling this strength. Spain drew yesterday, Denmark lost also at home, Russia lost at home. So I'm not sure about this home factor actually in this Euro.
Well, it depends how you approach the game. It depends what kind of teams you are. I think obviously some teams, teams that tend to dominate possession, that tend to take the game on into the opposition's half, benefit from the fact of playing at home. Teams that set up more defensively probably don't, because again, yes, the stadium is only half full or half empty. I like the fact that what Alvaro said, Belgium to score in both halves, the odds are extremely high, because yes, there is the away factor in this case. We have to remember that earlier in 2020, Belgium played twice against the Denmark and they won twice in the Nations League. They beat them 2-0 and 4-2 in Copenhagen without spectators. So I think they are a favorite. They are in form. They're still looking to see if Witsel is going to go back. They might miss Castagne for the rest of the tournament, but it seems a well-accomplished team should have no problem finishing top of the group with full points. I think with Denmark, even with Christian Eriksen, I know it sounds absurd, even with Christian Eriksen, they would not have been favorite to win this game, because yes, they were dominating against Finland, but they weren't creating enough chances without their main man. And let's face it, they must still be shocked from what happened. Although everything went well, I think they're going to struggle and they're going to suffer. For Denmark, the target in this game is to not get hammered, not concede too many goals, and hope to play the last game against Russia at home again with a goal difference that maybe is -2, -3, and then score a few against Russia and hope to qualify with 3 points. I think this game is a tough game for Denmark, come far too soon after what happened. And I'm going to back, obviously, Belgium to score in both faults, as Alvaro said. And if you want to be just a little bit more conservative, Belgium Asian handicap -0.5, 2.07. So if they win by one goal margin, you win half of the stake.
There is a consensus here, like Belgium is going to win. Also, many people are pointing at Lukaku, also as top scorer of the tournament. Also, Danny, you mentioned it when we spoke about it in our video. And Alvaro, we are talking also about psychologically how the Ericsson incident can affect Denmark, but of course, when we are playing about only football, we see that Ericsson has been involved in 39% of the goals since the start of the World Cup 2018 qualifiers. So in 30 out of 77 goals, Eriksen has been involved for Denmark. So not only psychologically, but of course, he's a crucial man for Denmark and they are going to miss him.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that he is very good at set pieces as well. And in this short tournament, set pieces are key. I believe that the players are going to be affected, as you said before. The question is how or when are they going to be affected? Because these traumas sometimes reveal themselves later in the year or later in the decade. So I think that it was a shock at the beginning, as you said. Probably the players, some of them are in a little bit of a hype now, a negative hype. You could imagine that they group together even more than they were before after the incident, but I believe that, number one, they are missing a hell of a player. Christian Eriksen is one of the best set-piece takers and one of the best number 10s of the last 10 years. And number two, and more importantly, I mean, they haven't been able to prepare the games normally under these circumstances.
And then let's move on to the last game of the day, this Thursday, Group C. Netherlands, Austria. We had a lot of fun watching the Netherlands. There is suspicious, let's say, in the Netherlands about their national team, about Frank de Boer, but their performance especially, well, in the whole the game was good. In the first half, they couldn't score, but they shot 10 times on Ukraine's goal at the end. In the second half, we saw the goals, Vignandul, Bejos, and the last one, Dumfries. So a very important game. This is going to be played against in the Johan Cruyff Arena, Danny. But Austria, they seemed also like a good team. You said before, you mentioned the quality of players like Alaba and the importance also of players coming out of the bench like Gregoric and Arnautovic at the end, the scorers that gave Austria the victory. Here we see very low odds for the Netherlands, actually 1.65, but in my opinion, seeing what we saw in the first game, maybe Austria can get something out of Amsterdam.
And I think with the Netherlands, you're going to be entertained these games because the way they play, they almost play, they leave De Vrij on his own, and then they push forward the fullbacks, the defensive midfielders screened him, so it's quite an attacking proposition. And, you know, Netherlands had to win the game twice over against Ukraine. They won it, they go back, and then they managed to win again. They had more chances, and I think they deserve to win. I wasn't entirely convinced with the substitutions of Frank de Boer when he took out Daley Blind and Van Aanholt. The team seemed to suffer. You know, they lacked a little bit of experience with the substitution coming in. So, yeah, Netherlands, I think they might score, they might concede. Both teams to score, as someone suggests now in the chat, obviously is a good bet, but I don't think it pays that much. The Netherlands, they're gonna be an exciting team to watch, and I think they have enough changes in attack to keep it going for both halves. So my bet is Netherlands to score in both halves, 2.50, and with Austria, a sturdy team, organized team, they don't run too much in behind, but from situations where the ball, you know, is in the feet and is moving from left to right, right to left, someone like Sabitzer, like Alaba, can always find a killer pass. So, you know, they could be a threat, but I like to see them a little bit more movement up front. I wasn't convinced by Kalazic in his start. Arnautovic, we don't know if he's going to play after the investigation of UEFA, some racist abuse he might have said against the Macedonian. I think Netherlands to win, but Netherlands to score in both halves.
Also, Alvaro, here, actually, if these two teams draw, they are going to be in the next round. So I think we shouldn't rule out the draw, that it pays 4.3, and actually it would be beneficial for both teams, even for the Netherlands, after they have North Macedonian for the goal difference, they can qualify first of this.
Yeah, I think anyway that playing at home will make the Netherlands to go for it. And in fact, I think that they are more likely than Austria to win the game. So I'm going to back the Netherlands to win it. I'm going to back the Netherlands to win it with an Asian handicap of -1 or an Asian handicap of -2. Even the Asian handicap -2 pays 4 for every dollar pound euro you bet, and I like that one too. I know that it sounds a little bit exaggerated, but the other day I like the profligacy of the Netherlands going forward. I know that they missed many chances, but in the first half and in the second half they had many. And if they had a good striker, they would have capitalized more. Let's don't forget that Weghorst or Luke de Jong, they are good strikers, but they are not top strikers. And the Netherlands, they need to generate a lot of football for them to score. So, you know, I think that the Netherlands have scored two or more goals in the last eight games. That is something that we shouldn't overlook. Normally, they know how to find the net. And when they find it twice. And Austria, yes, I was impressed against them, against North Macedonia. I believe that, as Daniel says, the passes of Alaba or the passes of Savitzer, they were very clinical, just to find the strikers. But North Macedonia was a small opponent. I think that it's difficult to draw many conclusions out of that game. The truth is that the Netherlands, they are a fantastic team and they have won this competition and they've got plenty of options going forward. And I like even the midfield with Wijnaldum and De Jong. De Jong was superlative against against Ukraine in the last game. And Austria is a team that, you know, normally they haven't had a big big tournament pedigree. They just came third in a World Cup in 1954, but nothing else after that. And yes, they've got good players, but the options up front, Arnautovic, Kalacic, Savitzer, well, they are players who can score goals, but they are not great scorers. They also, I believe, that they've got less mobility than the Netherlands. When it comes to tactical switches and all that, the Netherlands are second to none in the world. And that's why I'm going to back them to win this game and to win it even a little bit heavily with the margin. So the Asian handicap minus one is good enough. But the Asian handicap minus two is my favorite bet for this game. I'm back in the Netherlands, of course.
Okay, then we have all the bets for this Thursday, the 17th of June, Netherlands hammering Austria. Thank you, guys. We will see each other very soon as well with more content, more tips about the Euro. Thanks, everyone, for commenting. You can still leave a comment and get a £10 free bet with Novibet. And of course, please like our video, subscribe to our channel, and click on the bell to get notifications whenever we do these live videos. Then, Dani, Álvaro, see you very soon, and thanks for your tips, as always.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for watching.